Are you living by faith?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful we can call You Father.
Amen.
We're grateful, Lord, for Your mercy and Your many blessings to us, Lord. We feel unworthy of all that You've done, but we count it a great blessing to be here, gathered together with those of like precious faith, striving, Lord, pressing, Lord, help us, Lord, today. We just invite You to come and take control of each and every one of us, Lord. Take control of my mind and my heart, Lord. Take control of our being and pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord, today. Help us, Lord, not only to hear Your voice, but to receive Your Spirit and to yield to Your will in our lives, Lord. Bless each and every one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to the Scriptures today? Philippians chapter 3. Very familiar Scripture to us. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to start with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I realize that any man that's able to read can read this great book, Lord. But it takes Your Spirit to come, Lord. And we invite You to come and open up the bread of life to us, Lord. Quicken Your word, O God. Take control of each and every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Happy New Year to you.
Amen.
Another year. It's hard to believe how quickly the years go by.
Amen.
It's good to see everyone. Alex and Tina, we haven't seen you in a while. God bless you.
Amen.
So everyone's here. It's here. You're welcome.
Amen.
And you know, we're not a group of many people, but it's not really in the numbers, is it?
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham often said he's looking for one person.
Amen.
One person that'll just completely yield themselves to Jesus Christ. Maybe that should be our goal this year.
Amen.
Lord, I want to be that person.
Yes.
I want to completely yield. I don't want to yield to any other spirits or any other ambitions or any other desires. I want to yield to Jesus Christ. What would happen if all of us yielded fully to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I think it would be heaven on earth, wouldn't it?
So,
I have a request here. I wonder if we don't do this now, I know I'm going to forget. So it says, can we sing happy birthday to Tim? Yesterday was his birthday. So it's written in handwriting that you just can't resist. So can we sing happy birthday? Where's Tim at? There he is. Happy birthday to... Why don't you stand up, Tim? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tim. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. 29, right, Tim? All right. Hey, man, you're as old as you feel. You know, and sometimes I feel really old. Sometimes I feel really young. Praise God. So, you know, the other day I was going for a walk, and, you know, I was thinking about this coming year. And I don't know, probably like a lot of you think about, you know, what God's going to do and what does he want me to do? What does he want us to do different, you know? And
amen.
I remember I took a class one time, and it was very interesting. It said, identify all the roles in your life. You know, maybe you're a father, maybe you're a husband, or you're a wife, or you're you have a job, and you have all these different roles. And then for each role, put down goals for your life. I thought that was a good exercise to do because, you know, if we don't have our sight on some kind of goal, then we're just kind of tossed about to and fro, and the statistics show that it's very rare that people actually set goals for themselves. So I think it's a good thing to do. So I was thinking about this and thinking about things I'd like to do better, that are things that I didn't do before, and then I saw someone coming. It's like 1 mile this way and 1 mile that way. And this guy was coming this way, and he started to get closer, and I started to hear some kind of music he must have been listening to on his phone. He didn't have a headset; he just was listening to some kind of music. And then I realized it sounds like some kind of rock and roll music, or I didn't really recognize it. And then he had a shirt on with his kind of like a, you know, rock and roll, you know, that was his thing, you know. He was rock and roll. His spirit was feeding on that. And I remember a day that I used to feed on that. I remember a time when that I could enter into that, but today I cannot.
Amen.
And you can remember those things. And I was thinking, you know, it just started me thinking, you know, what are his goals? You know, what is his ambitions? You know, what is his desires? You know, and I thank God he's changed my desires. I thank God that he's let me step back from this life and give me a wider vision.
Amen.
You know, not just this life, but there's a life beyond this life. And then I heard something the other day that kind of struck me, and I started thinking about it. And the guy was saying, all these wars that we had never increased the number of deaths. Now think about that. We think about war, we think about all the death that goes with it. But it never increased one death because we're all headed there. It just came sooner for those people that died in war, right? They were younger people. So when you start thinking that way, we're not going to live in this mortal life forever.
Amen.
But this world, when someone dies younger, it's such a tragedy because they only live for this life. They don't look at beyond the other life.
Amen.
So Christians, we're lifted out of this narrow focus of this life to there's a life beyond.
Amen.
And I believe the life after this life will be much better for Christians.
Amen.
Than this life. See, so, but those who have no hope of that calling, they have no desire for that, see, they're actually living in blindness. They don't realize what a misery really this life can be. And to live for this life alone, like the Bible says, if in this life alone we have hope, we are of all men most miserable.
Amen.
Right? If there's only hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But I'm so glad I have a hope.
Amen.
Beyond this life,
amen,
beyond this world.
Amen.
Because this life, as Job said, you know, it's a time of sorrow for man. You can do everything right, you can try to do your best, and then things can happen that you didn't expect. Things can happen that you were unaware of. Because while Christians have a wider view, we don't have God's view of everything. We can't see everything.
Amen.
So we have to trust him because we know God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to talk about something today along those lines. In the verse here it says, I love this scripture that we read, by the way. It's just a beautiful scripture. Paul talking about, you know, what things were gained to him, he counted for loss for Christ. So Paul is a great example of someone who thought he knew what was important, but he really didn't. And he wasn't someone that was lazy and laid back. And he was someone striving for that which was right, but he was wrong. So you can be striving for something you think is right and still be wrong. You can be sincerely wrong, right? So Paul, I believe, was sincere in his life because you don't drag people out of their houses and throw them in jail thinking in an insincere way. He thought he was doing the right thing. For God, he thought he was doing the right thing. See, it's so hard for people that of faith, of religious background, to actually realize they're wrong in what they're doing. One of the hardest spirits for us to deal with in life are religious spirits.
Amen.
So you can be religious and be wrong. And Paul's a great example of that. It's Paul, who was Saul. And I think about how one day he realized, though by the grace of God, that he wasn't right. See, and I don't believe if it wasn't for the grace of God, then any of us are going to understand that we're wrong about anything. Do you ever meet someone who just never thinks they're wrong? You know, and you can try, you can have all the reasoning, you can have all the facts, you can show them everything, but in their mind they're right, and there's just my mind's made up, don't bother me with the facts, right? That's a horrible condition to be in. I would hope that all of us don't want to be in that condition.
Amen.
See, but when someone is convinced they're right and they never find themselves to be wrong, everybody else is wrong but not them. And I don't believe that's a Christian attitude. I think a Christian should be examining ourselves every day in prayer and God, the Holy Spirit, teaching us where we are wrong. And we could say, you know what? I'm wrong quite a bit, actually a lot. I'm sorry about that, but I am wrong. Some people could say, they just can't do it. They can't say, I'm sorry. Can't say I'm sorry. That's a horrible condition to be in, especially when you're religious. Especially when you're religious. So God help us today to be open to the Word of God. Now, if I say something that's my opinion, then you can just throw it aside. But what if it's the Word of God speaking to us today? You know, I was praying back in the room, as I do many times. I said, Lord, here we are in a new year. If it's not your will for me to go out there, don't let me make it to the pulpit. Well, I'm here at the pulpit. Well, that doesn't mean anything, Brother John. Well, it does to me. See, because I was back there praying, sincerely thinking, well, if I'm out of the will of God, he could stop me and they find a body somewhere. So you know if you find a body, oh, he was out of the will of God. He pressed the prayer that prayer. But see, the fact is, I believe God wants me to be here behind this pulpit today. So my desire is not for God to justify me, but for God to help you. See, so my desire is that the Spirit of the living God would come visit this humble place and speak to us and save us and fill us with the Holy Ghost. Because I still believe the Holy Ghost is available today. So that's my desire, is that we not point fingers at one another, but that we look within ourselves. And I believe we should all desire to respond to God's calling and to find and fulfill the calling of God. So the scripture that I want to take is, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. And I say that this year, this coming year, I can't believe it. 1987, the Lord touched me March 1st, 1987. I remember where and when he touched me the first time. Totally changed my desires. led me right to the scriptures. I didn't know anything about a prophet of God or a message. The grace of God, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you.
Amen.
And on that day, I was going 100% the wrong way, and he touched me and turned me around 100% the other way. Started reading the Bible, and this book became a supernatural book to me.
Amen.
And every time I go to this book sincerely, I find it to be supernatural.
Amen.
Where it's unusual how he deals with me in a very intimate way, in a personal way. So I look back, and that's 30 years ago.
Amen.
And surely at the time I thought, well, after 30 years, you're really going to have it down, John. But what I find sincerely is that the more I know about God and the closer I get to God, the less I have confidence in myself.
Amen.
And the more I need him today.
Amen.
I need him more now than ever because I see in those 30 years my failings, my vulnerabilities, my shortcomings, my flesh is contrary to God. The flesh wars against the spirit. And so, but I also have seen over the last 30-some years what my flesh will produce versus what the Spirit will produce.
Amen.
And I believe His way is better than my way. And I want to yield to Him more than to myself.
Amen.
So I realize there's a war going on inside of us. And everyone has that battle. So it says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't let your past ruin your future.
Amen.
Too many people dwell on their past and they say, well, this was always that way and this person did that to me and look at that happened to me there and look at this and look at my family was always that. That has nothing to do with it. Look forward. Look to the future. Forgive what was done in the past. Grudges will hinder your walk with God.
Amen.
An unforgiving spirit will hinder your walk with God. It'll hinder all of your relationships. It'll make you bitter and you won't even know it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I want to speak about, the high calling of God. I believe there's a high calling.
Amen.
It's not just a calling. There are callings, but this is a high calling.
Amen.
And you and I, as believers and here today, fellowshipping in the name of Jesus Christ, we are called to that high calling. Actually, I believe God wanted everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to repentance, right?
Amen.
He wants us all to go into that place. So we want to look at that today, talk about that today. So we can have a revelation, and I want to make this very clear. You can have a correct revelation from God, but yet truly not understand your purpose. You can have a revelation about one thing and a wrong understanding on another area. So many times what happens to religious people is they know they got a correct revelation on this, and then they think they're right about everything, which is totally untrue and not realistic. We can get distracted by many different influences in this life and many different voices. And if ever there was a day of voices, it's today. Ever there was a day that's reaching out trying to distract us, you can't even pump your gas without a screen talking to you about something. All of a sudden, you're pumping your gas to say, I need a cup of coffee or I need to buy a sandwich. And it was because that screen was telling you. Voices coming out of you. Help us, Lord, to listen to the one voice.
Amen.
So there's a high calling, and it's the most important calling in your life. Now, Peter, I think, is someone we're going to look at. He clearly demonstrated a true revelation of God, but then at the same time, a carnal understanding of something else. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, if you want to turn with me.
Praise the living Lord.
Matthew 16. Verse 15, Matthew 16. We're all familiar with this, but I just want to look at it just to emphasize the point. Matthew 16, verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. Christ, the anointed. Thou art the anointed, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Wow! Amen. That's amazing. How many times did Brother Branham refer to that scripture about the church is not built upon Jesus or Peter, but the revelation that Peter had of who Jesus was?
Amen.
That was the rock of that revelation that he had, because the church is built upon a true revelation. So we see that's a wonderful thing, and it can't be underestimated. He didn't learn it in a seminary. God, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, the Spirit of God gave him a direct revelation. That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing.
Amen.
Now, verse 20. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, that must be confusing to a lot of people, right? Well, why wouldn't he tell everybody? See, God doesn't do it the way we think he should
Amen.
Do it. You know, when we want to talk to God, we want God to come down, sit in our living room, take a chair, and just talk to us. Have you ever had that desire?
Yeah.
Job said, if there was a place, I could just go and talk to him.
Amen.
We don't like this trying to mysteries and prayer and uncertainty. But you know, God has chosen this way for a purpose.
Amen.
There's a purpose in it, right? So, and he charged them to tell no man. Verse 20, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, isn't that something? He knew who he was and he's rebuking him. We get that way.
Amen. Amen, bro.
We know who he is, but then maybe we think a little too highly of ourselves.
Amen.
He began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. No, that's not the plan. That can't be the plan. Think about it. We all get into that. But he turned and said unto Peter, now that rebuke produced another rebuke. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
Amen.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen.
For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto thee, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now look what happened there. Peter had a true revelation. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He had a true revelation. Jesus said he had a revelation from God. And then Jesus started telling them more about the plan. And then he said, no, that's not the plan. No. And then and Jesus had to rebuke him. Not that Peter was Satan, but his thought was inspired from the wrong way. And so all of us are subject to those kind of thoughts where we think we know, but we really don't know. And that's what we got to be careful about. So Peter here, he gets rebuked by Jesus because he said, be it far from thee. You're not going to suffer. You're not going to be killed. He seems to have missed the raise the dead part of the message. Right?
Amen.
Because how big is that? So he missed that part. And that happens to us. We kind of don't put all the pieces together properly. So get thee behind me. What was wrong? He had a true revelation, didn't he? He had the right revelation about who Jesus was, which is huge. He had the revelation that the church is built upon that kind of revelation. The gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. That which he loosed is loosed. That which he bound is bound. Think about it. But he had the wrong understanding of what the main purpose was.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Think about that. How huge is that? God, Jesus had to rebuke him because he said, "You're savoring the things that be of man." Sometimes the plan of God goes contrary to our understanding, and our flesh man has it figured out another way. Lord, help us. We must be careful of our motives and objectives. And I want to talk about our heart, because see, that's where the trouble is. It's out of the heart comes the things. See, thoughts come into our mind, many different voices speak to us, and then we believe something in our heart, and that's what produces our motives and our objectives and our actions, comes out of our heart. Out of our heart. See, you speak things with your mouth, but it comes with your from your heart.
Amen.
So Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart," or "guard thy heart." That's what it means when it says keep. "Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The heart. We got to watch over our heart.
Amen.
"Keep thy heart. Guard it from danger." Jesus, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but be of man." See, many people get pulled away from God's main purpose, savoring the things of this life more than the next.
Amen.
Like we said, it's such a tragedy that someone would die young. Well, if they were a Christian, they have eternal life.
Amen.
It's a tragedy if they don't have eternal life, yes, because then they go the wrong way. But why is it we so much want this life? If someone talks about passing from this life to the next life, no, don't speak about that. Why not? I've already passed from death into life.
Amen.
This life's just full of trouble.
Amen.
It's full of sorrows. Now, I don't want to expedite my time here. I only want to live the days that God wants me to live here. And when he's done with me, I want to go.
Amen.
No, John, you can't say that. See, why is this life so important to us? We have to be careful that we're not savoring the things of man more than we should, or we miss the main purpose sometimes.
Amen.
Lord, help us to see.
Hallelujah.
So, he had the wrong understanding of the main purpose. Jeremiah 17:3 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I say this, we can't even know our own heart unless God shows it to us. So it's only the grace of God that we can see right. That's why we should never be critical of somebody that can't see. God has to show them. And if God can't show them, how can I? God has to show them. Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." We have that understanding in our mind. The carnal mind is the enmity of God. We need to realize we wake up every day and our greatest enemy is not the devil, it's ourself. The devil's a defeated foe. The devil can't touch us when we're behind the protection of the Word of God. The devil's done. It's us, it's self, it's the carnal mind, the carnal flesh man that leads us the wrong way. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs 21, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes." Right? "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." See, he when Samuel went down to the house of Jesse and he saw the tall one, he said, "Well, Saul's tall, that must be tall." That was real spiritual, right? And he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." Proving that not every word of a prophet is thus saith the Lord, right? And so God comes down to Samuel and says, wait a minute, Samuel. You're looking on the outside, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks deeper than the outside. We look, man, he said, not just Samuel, but all of us. We look on the outside of things and we judge from the outside. But God looks past the outside and he looks to the heart of the matter. Yes. Lord, help us to see that way.
Amen.
Help us not to judge people by just, you know, I think if you know what somebody meant to say, don't criticize what they said.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Help us, oh God.
Amen.
Look beyond the surface. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth hearts. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, filled with himself. It's all about me. The world revolves around me, of course. Backslider in heart. See, if someone's heart's right with God, the world's not, it's not all about them. It's about what God wants.
Amen.
It's about what pleases God. Eternal life is living for others, not self. But when someone's backslidden in their heart, everything revolves around what they want because they're so blind they can't see the wrong. Oh Lord, help
Amen,
us.
Bro.
My opinion's so important. How dare you question my opinion? Backslider in heart. See, it's all about what they say. I expressed an opinion and you dared to disagree with that? Backslider in heart. See, we all have an opinion and we all could be wrong.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. This is in Proverbs. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Look, what did God say to Job when he was correcting him? You know, Job, if you look at his testimony, he did everything right. He said everything right, but there was still something wrong. Pride. God had to humble Job, right?
Amen.
And so he said to Job, can you look on everyone that's proud and humble them, abase them? Well, no, we can't, but he can. And he said it in his word that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand he shall not go unpunished. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of the man is haughty, but before honor is humility.
Amen.
Humility, right? Humble ourselves. Jesus, the way up is down, and the way down is up.
Amen.
Humble yourselves in the sight of God. He shall lift you up.
Amen.
Proverbs 20. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can make their heart clean?
Amen.
Listen, we cannot. We need the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is the thought?
The
be careful what's in your heart. Don't assume that you're right when you could be very wrong.
Amen.
You could have. And it doesn't mean you don't have a true revelation about some things, important things, but do we have the main thing right? I don't want to just have a revelation about this doctrine and that doctrine, but miss the main point of the whole purpose of God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Listen, if he chooses to mark iniquities, none of us will stand.
Amen.
Without God's mercy, we're all dead and going
Amen.
To hell.
Hallelujah.
The good news is of Christ that he provided a way of escape for us. Calvary, faith in Calvary, repentance, remission of sins through his blood. Thank God for the gospel.
Amen.
It's a way of escape from ourselves. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. See, David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. And he prayed in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart.
Amen.
Now that's a revelation. We can't do it, but he can.
Amen.
David didn't look to himself for righteousness. He looked to God. Create in me. What a prayer.
Amen.
Create, Creator. You created this world. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Renew. What does that tell you? He had it once, but it went. That's a revelation too.
Amen.
Listen, you can have a right revelation once, and you can have a right spirit, a right attitude once, but that doesn't mean in this life it's always going to stay that way. We are being attacked every day by the devil. And you know what? We're wrong. We become wrong many times. Though you might be religious, it doesn't mean you're not wrong. All of, you know, I think if we could see clearly, we're all wrong. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short. We shouldn't have any pride. We shouldn't be exalted about anything. We shouldn't be condemning anybody. We all need God's mercy. So that should be everyone's prayer, desire and prayer, I believe, is create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit.
Amen.
Knowing that we're all subject to vain imaginations. We're all subject to temptations in this evil day. We're all subject to that. We should resist proud and haughty thoughts and vain imaginations.
Amen.
See, God looks at those things. What did the angel tell Brother Branham when he first met him? Tell the people that their thoughts speak louder in word,
Amen.
Louder in heaven
Amen.
Than their words do on earth.
Amen.
Wow. Our thoughts are exposed. Our hearts are exposed. If we could see clearly, we would know that everything that's in my heart, God knows about it. Everything that's in my mind, God knows. We should resist proud and vain imaginations.
Amen.
Don't escape into some alternate reality of yourself that's not true. Stay with reality. And the reality is we need Christ.
Amen.
I need Him every day.
Amen.
And vain imaginations Amen. Won't make you happy.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Resist proud heart. We should question all of our goals and objectives.
Amen.
Remember I was talking about roles and goals? Okay, don't do that without God there.
Amen.
Well, it'll be all right. Well, probably not. Probably not. It doesn't matter if you had a goal and objective for a long time. It doesn't make it right. Let the Holy Ghost search your goals. And how do we do that? We ask Him. We humble ourselves to Him. We admit that maybe we could have had an objective that's not even right. Lord, search my heart. I always appreciated what Brother Branham said about Finney. I was reading one of his books. He said to pray and to write down the things. Ask God to show you what's wrong and write them down. It's actually a painful exercise because it's blinded to your carnal mind. And it's only when we enter that supernatural realm and the anointing of the Holy Ghost puts on true glasses that we can see, wow, I have been proud. Wow, I have been wrong here. Wow, I spoke in a rough way. I shouldn't have done that. Have you ever been just alone by yourself? Many times I'll be just driving down the road and the atmosphere of God would come and I'd see myself interacting with maybe one of the kids. And I didn't like what I saw. And then a still small voice says, I don't treat you like that.
Amen.
Think about it. How we interact with one another matters to God.
Amen.
Eternal life, God's eternal life, is living for others, loving others unconditionally. And yet people for many, many years will hold a grudge against someone in their family. Bitterness builds up. Relationships torn down. Walls build up because of unforgiving hearts. If you refuse to forgive somebody, do you realize God cannot forgive you?
Amen.
We have no right to hold a grudge or bitterness against anyone. We must forgive, not for our own sake. God, have mercy on us. And if you can't forgive, you need to ask Him to help take away that stony heart. Lord, give me a heart that's soft and fleshy heart, that I can receive Your Spirit. Oh God, help us. Praise the Lord. Proverbs says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's talking about someone that was wrong in that proverb, but I believe that's true with us.
Amen.
As we think in our hearts, so we are.
Amen.
Right? You might pretend on the outside quite a bit, but as you think in your heart, let not thine heart envy sinners. Proverbs 23. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't envy sinners. Look at the end. Where is the end going to be? Don't envy people who have everything in this life but have nothing in the next life.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, we should always try to understand what pleases God. What would please God here? I love how David says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, not a haughty spirit. You know, someone can be very proud serving God. But the sacrifices, the true sacrifices of God, are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Repentance.
Amen.
The gospel of the New Testament calls every one of us to repentance.
Amen.
To a broken heart. True repentance. When's the last time we repented before God?
Amen.
When's the last time we shed a tear? When's the last time we weren't cold and formal before God?
Amen.
When's the last time when we went before God, we didn't just give him a list of things we want?
Amen. Amen.
For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So that's the heart. We're dealing with the heart today because we're dealing with a high calling. And in dealing with that, we have to deal with the many callings in this life. There are many different callings in this life. There's people... Many people respond to different callings. We just need to make sure who's calling us. Because there's many different callings, and they're not all from God.
Amen,
when I use that word in a broader sense, a calling, it could be some other spirit calling you. Right? Think about what people are called to today. Various vocations or occupations or... Somebody might be called, they feel they're called to be a singer or an actor or a politician. We got enough of them, right? Academics. We got business. Someone's called to be a professional athlete. I know every kid on my 12-year-old baseball team was sure they were called to be a professional baseball player. I was sure of that, right? But then as I got older, I realized, okay, I was just thinking that. You know, and then when I see a young kid, I'm going to be a baseball player. I said, well, that's good, but have a plan B.
Amen.
Plan B is important because plan A might not happen. Right? Some people are called to be a financial wizard or an inventor or many different callings. Perhaps they don't see it as a calling. But the way I look at it is they spend all their time and energy and effort trying to accomplish something. It's a calling in your life. Now watch the definition of calling, vocation. Now we're not just talking about a preacher and we're not talking about that at all, ministry, because that's usually what people think about. Every one of you has a calling.
Amen.
Now watch. A particular occupation, business, or profession. A strong impulse to follow a particular activity or career. A divine call to God's service to a Christian life. That's a calling. A function or state in life to which one is called. A vocation of marriage. It's a calling. You know what's odd to me is that I know many people who aren't married and they want that calling. And then I know many people in that calling that wish they weren't. And you know, it is kind of funny, but at the same time it's tragic that it's rare to find someone who's happy in their calling that they're in. Paul said, whatever state I find myself, I want to be content.
Yes.
He's learned to be content. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a desire for something more. See, as Christians, we can have rest in Jesus Christ. But as Christians, we realize there's more of God for us.
Amen.
And in general, the church of the last days, I believe there's a longing for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But wherewith I'm not going to strive, and this is what I've noticed, when people strive and they're overzealous to achieve something, they actually get in the way of it happening.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. If you can actually, in trying to see God's word manifested, you can actually get ahead of God and get in the way of God. Like, you know, we want our loved ones to be saved, for instance. So if someone's not saved and we just constantly hammering them and hitting them over the head, we actually get in the way of God.
Amen.
His still small voice has been saying, we're not listening to it, but he's saying, take your hands off. That's my work. I'm the Savior.
Amen.
And I share my glory with no one.
Amen.
When you take your hands off, I can go to moving, but you won't take your hands off. So we're just going to leave it there for a while. How many times is that actually happening? I remember the time when Maureen wasn't a Christian, and I remember that was the message I was hearing from God, is just commit her to me. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. And that was a hard thing to do. It's hard not to try and convince the Bible's right. This is right. You need God. And then after she was converted, which wasn't by my hand, it was by the hand of God, of course, right?
Amen.
Many people said, how did you get your wife converted? I can't tell you how many. How did you get your wife to serve God? How did you? I said, I took my hands off.
Amen.
People said, that doesn't comprehend. No, there's something we got to do. We got to do it. Yeah, we got to get out of the way of God.
Amen.
And believe God. And believe in prayer. Is prayer an atomic bomb or not?
Amen, brother.
If you believe that, you'd be launching them every day. But if you don't believe it,
Amen.
Then you whine and complain and say, we're not doing anything.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
We need to get out of the way of God. He'll share His glory with no man. I remember one time I was working somewhere and this Baptist woman said, oh, this man died. And I was trying to get him saved. And that didn't compute with me. I said, get him saved. We don't get people saved. I mean, I knew what she was trying to say. She was witnessing to him. She wanted to come him to Christ. But she thought she had the power to save that man. No man comes to me unless my Father draws him. And all the Father's given will come. Yes, be a witness, but get out of the way. Praise the Lord. We do get in the way of God. Be careful of your motives and objectives. I want you to challenge yourself, and you don't have to tell me, but we're here to be honest with ourselves and God, right? We're not here to cover up and play games with God, right? What are you called to be? What are you called to do? What are you giving your life to? What is your main goals and objectives in life? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's an important question.
Amen.
Hey, Brother John, I just came to church to teach me something. Don't get so personal with me. Listen, I think God cares about those things.
Amen.
And I think we should care enough about those things that we include Him in those things.
Amen.
And not exclude God and say, I got this. You're headed down the wrong path right there. See, we need to go before Almighty God in prayer and ask Him, what is the real purpose of my life?
Amen.
What did you, God, intend for me to do with my life?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So, see, I believe while we have many voices calling to us and we have many desires and things we run into in life, I do believe there's one high calling for every one of us.
Amen.
One.
Amen.
And if you miss that one, you've missed the main thing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's a main purpose that God has for us. And I do believe, because the Bible said so, if we seek Him with all of our heart, we will surely find Him.
Amen.
We will surely find Him.
Amen.
Now, Jesus said, You must be born again.
Hallelujah.
You must be born again. You cannot even understand what God intends without the new birth, without being born of the Spirit. If you've never had a second birth, then you're born of the first birth, which is death. Adam, we're born after Adam, the first man, and we're born after sin, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. We're all sinners by our natural birth. That's why there has to be a second birth, which is not a natural birth. Let's just read that in John 3. I love this scripture.
Amen.
Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he says, "We know you're a man from God. I mean, you couldn't do these works unless you were from God." John 3, verse 3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see." He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You can't understand. You can't see anything God's doing here. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He didn't understand at all. Didn't understand at all. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now look at verse 8. "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Praise God.
Amen.
See, we like to have things all figured out. We like to have things organized. Are you a person like that? Who likes chaos? I don't like chaos. I like things organized. I was just in my garage trying to organize it so a car could fit back in there. It was meant to be a car in that garage. But there's all this stuff and all this trash. And so I start going into every corner and I start looking at this stuff. I said, "Why do we need this? Why are we storing stuff that we're never going to use?"
Yes.
And you start cleaning out the corners. You know what I noticed? When you turn a dark corner over, little spiders start crawling out of there. They're like, "Whoa, I've been here for years. What are you doing?" You know, that's the way it is with our life. When we let the Holy Ghost start investigating our motives and objectives, don't be surprised that there's demons under there.
Amen.
Hiding from you.
Amen.
Wrong objectives, wrong motives, wrong goals. You've been following them for years. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Oh Lord, clean us out.
Amen.
Sanctify us, oh God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to find our true purpose in life.
Amen.
I don't want to follow the wrong purpose. I don't want to follow an evil spirit. That evil spirit's taking you down the wrong road.
Amen.
Can you imagine a believer wanting to get married to an unbeliever? That's a demon influence.
Amen.
How can you even consider something like that?
Amen.
It's clear scripture, and when you make a choice against the scripture, you're going against God, and you're choosing misery in your life.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Oh God, how we need you, Lord. We need a new birth.
Amen.
Every one of us is called to have a new birth.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord.
But you know, the disciples were followers of Jesus, and I would say they were believers in Jesus.
Amen.
And they had a true revelation. They still didn't understand some important things.
Yeah.
Now, let me just go here and I'll show you what I'm talking about. They had many years of instruction. We've had a lot of instruction around this message. Many years of instruction. First-hand witnesses of the miracles in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I could tell you all about it. Yet even after that, it seems they didn't understand the main thing. After his resurrection, well, even before his resurrection, they're at the Last Supper, and they were arguing. Did you notice? They're arguing who's the greatest. Arguing. Jesus must have went, "Oh." And then he washed their feet. "He that's greatest will be least. You see what I've done to you? Do it to one another. Be a servant to one another." That doesn't register in a carnal mind. In the carnal mind, in this world, you want to be the top dog. But in the kingdom of God, we want to humble ourselves.
Amen.
And let Jesus be top, right? After his resurrection, they still thought that Jesus would restore a natural kingdom and get rid of the Romans now. Right?
Amen.
We always want now. Our carnal mind wants now. There's no patience in the flesh. There's no broad view in the flesh. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? When they ask that question to Jesus after the resurrection,
amen,
they're having fellowship with the resurrected Christ. Are you going to restore the kingdom now? What important high calling were they missing?
Hallelujah.
Because I believe it's the same high calling that many of us miss.
Amen.
It's the highest calling.
Amen.
Let's go to Acts chapter 1.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus, help us. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. See, too many people today are trying to fulfill God's purpose in their life without the ministry of the Holy Ghost in their life.
Amen. That's great, brother. Amen.
Think of it. They yield to many other spirits, many other callings, many other desires, but not the desire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I believe the high calling of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Which Brother Branham came to restore our faith back to the original. And we've got educated people today, instructed in everything, except lacking the ministry of the Holy Ghost in their life. Lacking the fire of God, yielding to other spirits, yielding to other ambitions and roles and motives. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
Is the high calling of God. Oh, Brother John, we have the Holy Ghost. Do we? Now, I'm not here to de-Christianize anybody. Okay? But I'm here to challenge you. Does your life testify that within you, you have the power of the Holy Ghost, the seal of God? Look back into the book of Acts. Look back into the Bible. What does it produce? Brother Bram said that we are to get the same exact experience they had on the day of Pentecost. And it would produce the same exact life. It would produce the same exact signs and wonders and miracles.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you truly bearing the fruits of the Holy Ghost? Or is it hard for people to even get around you? What is the Spirit that you're feeding on? Brother Branham said he went into the man's office and he claimed to be a Christian, but he saw pinups on the wall, and he said, no matter what he says in his testimony, I can see he's feeding on that.
Amen.
His spirit is feeding on that. There's an evil spirit there. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to purge out all other evil spirits, to cleanse our lives from all evil. The Holy Ghost will feed on the Word of God. That'll be your joy. That'll be what you feed on. That's what you look forward to. You can't even get people to go to church, let alone read their Bible or pray. Why? They're too busy feeding on other things because other spirits have got in the way, all the while believing that they have the seal of God. Help us, Lord. It's not my job to pat you on the back and send you to hell. It's my job to challenge your experience. To challenge my own experience. And for us to seek God with all of our heart and to cry out to God, Lord, send us the rain, Lord.
Amen.
Send us, pour out your spirit upon us.
Hallelujah.
This whole message movement has gone into intellectualism.
Amen.
We can be instructed on every revelation. We got this revelation, that revelation. Where is the power of God?
Amen.
Where is the fire of the Holy Ghost in our lives?
Hallelujah.
Where is it, brother and sister?
Glory be to your mighty name, Father. Hallelujah.
I see a desperate need for God to pour out His Spirit.
Amen.
I see an alarming lack of the Holy Ghost in people's lives. I see people completely, utterly lukewarm.
Amen.
Not desiring God.
Amen.
Don't care about the things of God. Identify with the Laodicean spirit.
Amen.
Not that spirit doesn't go up in the rapture.
Yes.
And what was one of the worst parts of the Laodicean spirit?
Amen.
And knoweth it not.
Amen.
Poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it.
Amen.
Lord, help me to see.
Amen.
Help me to see. I don't want to be blind and not know my own condition. Where can we find that one on fire for God? Where can we find that one in soul travail? Where can we find that one that's interested in lost souls? People are not interested in souls. They're interested in being right about their doctrine. You could be absolutely right in your doctrine and totally lost. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The power of God. Let me just share something Brother Branham said. Someone asked a very good question. And I might have shared this before. Brother Branham, I want to know that place where I can tie down and say, this man has the Holy Ghost because he did this. Or this woman has the Holy Ghost because she did that. That was the question. See, and actually, do you know one of the most popular questions at youth camps is, how do I know I got the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
That's it. That's what people want to know. And if you search and search and pray about it, you know, Brother Branham says it right here. There's not a way in the world for you to know that, but that way. That's right. There's not a way in the world for you to know it. God is the judge. We are not the judge.
Amen.
See, this person says, I want to be able to say this one has it and this one doesn't. Now, where's that desire coming from?
Amen.
Religious spirit probably don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But there isn't some action that you do that proves you have the Holy Ghost. Now let me just read your Brother Bam's answer here. I think it's a very good answer to an important issue, okay? He says, a fellow come to me here some time ago. I was preaching and the other night. He come to my house and said, Brother Branham, brother, I want to get rid of my sins. I want to be a Christian. Wonderful desire. He said on my porch, he said, I heard about a great man internationally known by the name of Billy Graham. I went to his meetings and he said, all that wants to be a Christian, hold up your hands and accept Christ as your Savior. So I held up my hand. He said, now all have prayer. So I stayed and prayed just as sincere as I could be. And he said, it didn't do me any good. He said, I went down to Oral Roberts' meeting and I heard him say, all they had such joy. I went down to Oral Roberts and I said, what must I do to be a Christian? He said, you get back there. I told him I held up my hand at Billy Graham's. He said, you stay in the inquiry room until you're so happy you speak with tongues. He said, I went in there and I prayed until I spoke with tongues. And I come out and it didn't do me no good. He said, then I went to another meeting. He told me that I hadn't been sanctified yet, that I have to get sanctified and get happy and shout and get joy. So I prayed and prayed and I shouted, but yet still. And I said, brothers, Brother Brandon, brother, every one of those things are correct. Every one of them are good. Holding up your hands, speaking in tongues, shouting, I believe in every bit of it. You believe in every bit of it?
Amen. Hallelujah.
But yet, that's not the thing, see? It's accepting the person, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See, these are attributes, shouting, speaking in tongues, running, shouting, crying, praying, whatever. They're just attributes that follow. The first thing is to accept the person, Christ Jesus. So there's no evidence that we could say, because a man cries, I've seen many cry crocodile tears. He's just as big a sinner as could be. Amen.
Amen.
I've been to the youth camps. I've been there when they hammer the kids, get up here to the altar and pray, and they force them to come up, practically force them to come up, and they kneel down and pray, and then they say, I got it. And then they walk out and their life's not changed. It's not shouting, it's not speaking in tongues, it's not all those external things, it's not coming to the altar, it's accepting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Accepting Him. Amen. Believing in Him and accepting Him.
Hallelujah.
Now watch. It's accepting the person, Christ Jesus. These other things come right in on and they fit together. See, there's nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with coming to the altar. See, but you don't... The altar's not God. Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Listen, that means something to me because I have young people that came to me and says, I tried the altar. It didn't work. I did everything they told me to do. Nothing changed. And all I can say, my heart bleeding for these young people, listen, there's nothing wrong with God. Don't ever think there's something wrong with God. Don't give up on God. If there's something wrong, it's in us.
Yes.
It's in the way we're approaching God. They all fit together. Now listen to this statement. Let every member in this body this morning, let this little group of people, if we could pull the curtains down along each side and every person in here receive the person, Christ Jesus, there wouldn't never be a fuss.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen. Hallelujah.
There wouldn't never be a fuss. There would never be no argument. There'd just be a perfect love.
Amen.
Yet you'd still believe this and believe that, but it'd just be so full of love. See, that's it.
Amen.
See, there's a way to be disagree without being contentious. Without being rude and insulting. And abrasive. Love is the answer.
Amen.
And God is love.
Amen.
And when we receive Him, we receive that pure love.
Amen. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord.
Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness. And then Brother Branham says this, now I'll give you my estimation of what I think is the closest thing to an evidence that a man is a Christian that I know of. You know what it is? It's a travail of soul. A person that's always so hungering and thirsting for God. They simply day and night, they just can't stand it. They got to do something for God. They're so full of love. They're just in soul travail, just travailing all the time. The Bible said, he that goeth forth sowing in tears will doubtless return again rejoicing, bringing him precious seeds. Is that right? All those things. Now look. If this church, if I'd say this morning in this little group of people, I'd say, God would say, now, William Branham, I'm going to make you answer for that little group of people. What you tell them. Now, do you want them to shout? Sure, I want them to shout. Do you want them all to speak with tongues? I want every one of them to. Amazing how Brother Branham's different than all the preachers around the message. They don't want speaking in tongues no more. See, they're just outright unbelievers.
That's right, brother. Amen.
You want them to speak in tongues? I want every one of them to. Do you want them all to dance in the Spirit? I want every one of them to. All right, well, that's very good. But what would you rather have them do? I'd rather have a church that had such a burden on the heart for prayer that they just stayed at the altar and would be there day and night and everything else and in their house constantly prayer and humble, trying to get people to come to God and making calls in hospital, visiting the sick, trying to get people to come to church and do right. I'd rather have that than all the other put together. Although the other is right, it belongs in the church. But I'd rather have it. I'd rather have that first. Because you've got that, the other will take place.
Amen.
People focus on the wrong thing. That's the problem. See, if you got that, if you just get so hungry for God, shouting will take place. If you get so hungry for God, speaking in tongues will take place. If you get so hungry at God, you're just hungry and you keep yourself. Now you go to seeing, getting your... Now listen to this. This is so important. I want you to remember this now. Now if you go to seeing yourself getting indifferent, just remember, look out. There's another spirit trying to work itself in there. Stay right before God, humble with travail of soul. Indifference. I think it's a plague today. Apathy. I don't care. You know, it used to be a time maybe people felt that and they wouldn't say it. Now they don't care so much. I don't even care. I don't care. I've seen so much wrong at church. I'm throwing church out. You throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need God. If you love God, you love the Word of God, He said, not forsaking our assembling of ourselves together as we see the day approaching. And then Brother Branham says, I can prove by the Bible, the first time the angel of God went over to Lance to seal with the Holy Ghost, he only sealed those who cried inside for the abominations done in the city. Ezekiel 9 chapter, set a seal on the forehead of those that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city. Now I want to ask you a question. What would take place today if the Holy Ghost went through Jeffersonville, New Albany, Louisville, Pensauken? To seal those this afternoon who would be at home. God, send us a revival. So hungry for a meeting. Oh God, look at the sins of the city. Oh, isn't it terrible? God, won't you please send a revival? God, send some good preacher. Send someone, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost. Where would He seal? Think of that.
Amen.
Now what do you mean, Brother Branham? I mean this. Now I say this, Reverend, walking on brittle threads. I believe the day is about finished. I do too. He thought it back then. The doors are closing. You don't have no burden no more. The doors of the Gentile are closing. The day is time, the season is just about over. Just a few more to come. The reason you don't have no kind of meeting like that, there's no travail of soul. You don't get no burden. See, we have the mechanics. We have the instruction. But we need the dynamics.
Amen.
You know, you get a car, you know, and it can have everything just right. You can fix it up, polish it up just right, inside out. The engine's just perfect. It all works properly. But without the spark, it can't run. The other day, I was with Luke, and I got this chipper to get rid of some branches, and I'm pulling and pulling, trying to get this thing to start, trying to get it to start. And, you know, we were there about 20 minutes, and I'm praying. I'm laying hands on this thing. Lord, get this thing start. Lord, I believe this thing's on my way. And I sat down. I'm like tired. I look over. And there was a little switch that was on off. I said, oh, Lord, help us, Lord. I said, all right, I think it's going to work this time. On. See, it was preventing the fire. It was preventing the spark. We need the spark.
Amen.
We need the dynamics of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's not enough to know this message. It's not enough to know God sent a prophet. It's not enough even to know that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
It's not enough. We need that fullness of the Godhead in us.
Amen.
That's the high calling. It's the Holy Ghost. The experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's your high calling. You get that, He'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of your job. He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of your relationships. You won't spend all of your time looking at other people's faults because the Holy Ghost will be busy purifying you from the inside out. Help us, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, send the fire.
Amen.
That's my prayer.
Amen.
I want a revival.
Amen.
You know, I don't know about you. You ever see that film of Brother Branham on tape and the man gets up in the prayer line and Brother Branham's already tired and he's staring at the man. You've seen the film. You remember this point in the film. And that man said he's a very thin man and he's just standing straight like this. And he says, I see you're a preacher. And then he's looking at a vision. He says, oh, I see what you want. That's what we all want. He wants a revival to break out in His church.
Amen.
Praise God. Can you imagine that man? That man had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He come in the prayer line not for himself, not for any certain sickness and thing. He come because he wanted an outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that what we want? We should be crying for that. We should be saying, God, I can't wait to get to church. I'm going to bring my lick of fire. Someone's going to get saved today. Someone's going to catch a fire from God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, the dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know what that tells me? They already have it.
Amen.
It's a refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, there's a third Exodus time we're living in. The first Exodus was a natural people to a natural land. First Exodus. The second Exodus was when Christ came on the scene and it was a spiritual coming out into the new birth, the spiritual exodus of an individual. The third exodus, you know what Brother Branham said it was? He said it was going from the baptism of the Holy Ghost into the hereafter, the millennium. But you ain't going without the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your word.
Let me just read this last little paragraph here. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. See, it's all about Christ. Not about Brother Branham, it's about Christ. Amen. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's a new birth. And now what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation's in perfect harmony? God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest.
Amen.
Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how we need you, oh God. How we're living in an evil day, evil influences, evil spirits hiding themselves, and people not aware of the influences in their life, oh God. Lord, send the Holy Ghost down. Give us eyes of understanding. May we see the tactics of the enemy. May we see where the enemy's encamped. May we see where the enemy has influenced our motives and objectives, oh God. And Lord, give us the right motives. Give us the right objectives, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Cleanse our hearts and our minds, oh God. Purify us, Lord Jesus. How we need you, Father, to come. Lord, I pray for each and every one here. If there's a sinner in our midst, Lord, if they feel that calling of God, may they not rest day or night till they respond to that call, oh God. If they've never accepted you as their Savior, the person of Jesus Christ, Lord, may you place that on them, the revelation that that's what they need. That's that God's calling them to that. Help us, Lord. Lord, if there's one who's discouraged today, we live in a day, Lord, where so many are discouraged. Lord, I pray your Holy Ghost would come in and lift up the hands that hang down. Break the shackles of evil spirits. Break the shackles of depression. Help us, Lord, to see the promise of the Holy Ghost to the church in this hour. It's a real promise. It must be. It has to be. The only way this church is going out of here is with a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Pour out your Spirit, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Not just here in church, but every day in our life. Help us to yield to your Spirit. Help us to choose you, Lord, each and every day. Bless each and every one here. Lord, we're coming in a new year now, Father. Lord, may this be a year that we truly receive and are filled and let the Holy Ghost have preeminence in our life. May we choose you, Lord. Grant it, Father. Bless each and every one here. Lord, you said if we delight ourselves in you, you'd give us the desires of our heart. Oh, Lord, make our desires in tune with yours, Lord. Bless each and every one here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Yeah, Wednesday night. We're having service here Wednesday night, so... Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charms. Amen. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charms. Now through the blood, I'm saved. From all along, down at the cross, down at the cross, my heart is bending low. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as once I was lost. Oh, once.